have a question that I forgot to ask, but I can ask it now. On the resolution of this item, it does not say that the org chart is being approved or the job description. It only says, adopt item 9A, attachments 1 and 5, which is the budget for the general fund and for CCM. I just wanted to make sure I'm reading this correctly.
You are. You are.
So we are not, my understanding, we are not doing the job description or the org chart as presented. However, Director Israel asked if those staff changes for the those job descriptions are in this existing budget, this preliminary budget.
In the preliminary budget, yes.
So those are there. All right, Board. That's our job here today. We don't have to approve those job descriptions or the org chart. Do you want to discuss them anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll start with on the end. Go ahead, Sid.
Okay, and I just got through this today, so I didn't have time to look at all the budget items. But so I'm just going to touch on one, and that's the concept of an assistant general manager. And I'll talk to it on a couple levels. So one is, it's the wrong message at this time for our community to put out there. We look extremely top-heavy. We would have a hard time explaining or justifying that to the taxpayers of our community. It's like we have two general managers, so it's a really, really poor thing to even consider at this point. But there's also a concept of job creep, and it does seem that's kind of where our fiscal person is moved out of her lane, and it's an important, extremely important place. And it seems like that's the job creep, is just to adding on more responsibilities and more duties, and I don't think that's a very smart way to approach this. Also, I would say there's soft and hard skills with being an assistant general manager. It really requires good public relations, good communication skills, really great collaboration with staff. So it's a totally different set. And if we reach a time where we can afford it, it should be posted. We should be pulling some in with a bachelor's or a master's level who wants to do this kind of work. So it's the time is wrong. And the position should be put out there in that way, if we were choosing to go that way. I think what we're looking at is overload, perhaps, with our fiscal person. And in my doctoral work, I did a lot of work with organizational systems. And the fiscal person is basically in a challenging place with other staff because he or she is saying yes or no about budget items. So having HR with a fiscal person is not a good model. So that would be something to be looking at. Is there a person in our staff who has that natural personality and could learn those skill sets to be the HR person? So that might be something to look at. Can we shift some of that responsibility from our fiscal person? I think our general manager needs help. There's no doubt in my mind, but it's not getting another general manager. It's maybe looking for an office assistant or a board clerk. I think we need somebody to help you, and that would be the model I'd go to. I think our public could understand it. It certainly would be significantly less expensive. If I were going to talk in more specificity, I'd want to do it in closed session. I'm not comfortable about talking personnel matters in a public setting. So I have more information I could share in a closed session, but I'm really opposed to this concept.
Thank you. Tim?
Well, generally, with regards to the operational budget, I believe we still need to be looking to cut other things. The board report certainly refers to that. I will hope to see some of those cuts and some other possible cost-saving measures to be presented to us. I'll make the request again. Let's get the financial analysis of costs of operating in our pool throughout the winter. I would like to see that in an analysis that can be stood behind. asked for it before. We haven't gotten it. So I'd love to see that. And then, again, we're talking about moving our MOUs to our rental, field rentals, that sort of thing. I assume that's going to be backed by a cost analysis of some sort. So I look forward to hearing about that, too. With regards to this personnel action, there's not enough information here for me. Way too short of a time to consider it. Wasn't taken to our committees. It's just shoving this thing through without proper consideration. I agree with my fellow board members on the timeliness of this. It doesn't seem appropriate. We also are going to be seeing a salary and wage study. I think it's important that we consider all of this as one big piece, not piecemealing it with one action or another. So I'll reserve judgment on the proposal at this point, but I think I need to be convinced more than what has been presented.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's it for me.
Done.
Okay, so regarding splitting the budget, I think it's a great idea. It provides more transparency. It shows what's going to each specific section. That said, when you go forward with an entirely different budget schema, like was said, you can't go backwards. I still like the new way of doing things. I think it's a better way, but you know, it's problematic for that reason. As far as the personnel stuff, I'd like to have a larger discussion in closed session. I don't quite know how combining the two rec people into one position affects the existing people. And I don't know if we can afford the assistant GM. At the same time, the general manager clearly needs help, and the finance manager clearly isn't getting paid enough, so we need to have a bigger discussion in closed session about the whole thing.
Thank you. Eric?
So I want to start with just recognizing a few things that have happened in the last few months, which is part of what the general manager is reporting on. We have been dealing with significant projects and challenges, probably greater than anything I've seen on my time here. And COVID was a big challenge in that, but that was just responding to what we needed to. Particularly speaking about the annexation project, particularly speaking about a new general manager coming in trying to align the ship. So I want to acknowledge that there's been a lot happening, and staff has been working extra for that, and I want to thank them for it. I want to also acknowledge that our general manager has been doing things I've been hoping for years now, which is pursuing some of these outside interests and things that do affect our district. One of the complaints we've had, and many of us have said this, is for years, nobody paid attention to us, and nobody within our district, or very few people, paid attention to us. And so we lost interest in different areas with developers, we lost interest in spheres of influence. That has affected us, and we're feeling the consequence of that now. Small adjustments in areas of our boundaries would have made a significant difference, and we would not be having some of these conversations. Period. It's a result of people not paying attention. So I want to thank the general manager for paying attention to Marble Valley and Lime Rock. Those are things I've wanted to see. Cameron Meadows is another piece of that. These things are just happening and we don't get a seat at the table. I want to thank Mr. Gilchrist for your suggestion. For whoever needs to do that, well, I want to see that happen. We need a seat at the table. We need to get this. What I also want to recognize is that is more than our district can handle. And that's been part of the problem in the past, is our staff have just been trying to do what they need to just to survive and just to provide services and just to keep going. When you add these other things, this is what we get. Staff that are overworked, trying to do too much. I think it is a legitimate question to ask, do we need to invest more so that we can manage it, or do we need to, quote unquote, live within our means, which means the things that the general manager is going after now will not happen. We will not have a seat at the table with these other places. We will not be able to look to our future interests. And I rang myself over, but that's okay, I'm not going to move in comment. But it's a simple matter of time and ability. That's my assessment. In the 5 years I've sat on this board, we only have so much I do feel like some of the things that we need to do are getting dropped right now, and so that is a discussion we need to have. Having said that, the piece here that I want to ask about is I want to wait until we see the salary and wage study, talk about other staff, and I'll just say I can't vote on a budget that I haven't had time to review. I just don't feel that's responsive, let alone adding staff and adding or changing organizational structure. I just haven't had time to process this or even hear from the public as much as I would like to. And a lot of this is simply a function of the district that tries to do more than it has the resources to do. So I can't, correct me if I'm wrong, General Manager, approval of this budget means that, if I read it correctly, and I had to read it cursorily, that the new Assistant General Manager position would go into effect starting July 1?
No.
Okay.
No. This, what you're voting on tonight is a preliminary approval of general fund and CCNR because we have to do that by June 30th.
Correct.
And if you're uncomfortable with that, we have to come back with a special meeting because you have to do it.
Correct, but the fund one includes those positions.
It does not include, it includes...
the Assistant General Manager.
Wait a second. It includes the potential funding, but it does not include the job description. That's something you guys have to review the org chart, and you have to vote on it. Now, I would note that if I were to, as you will see next month on the salary study, if I were to simply do what the salary study says for our finance manager and HR manager, I would pay her more than is proposed in the AGM position.
Well, and all of those things are fine without the data.
I realize that.
I don't
so,
feel comfortable making this decision.
So
let me clarify what we would be approving tonight. If we approve this budget, we're not approving positions. We're not approving salary increases. We're simply approving the ability to function forward, and within the next 2 months, staff will bring forward the information we need to make those kinds of decisions and adjustments as necessary in the August budget. Is that correct?
Yes. And we may have further discussion in July on some of it. Particularly, I had hoped to have the union MOU by the 30th since it expires, but it continues in place until the new one is agreed under the same terms and conditions. So Christina's, I've talked about it, and she's prepared things that we've talked about that we think we can reasonably do at this point. And unfortunately, the union has been tied up and has not been involved this month so that we can try and conclude something by the end of the month. So I am hoping we can bring it to you with some of this other stuff in July, at the July meeting. Because that's where you would see the salary study.
I think the request in this would be recognizing that August is the final budget. I want to make sure we're prepared to have two meetings on that if we need to. This is a lot to process. And this is a lot to deal with, and it might require two more board discussions.
I couldn't agree more. And the problem is that when you try and make corrections to something that has problems, it's not easy.
Right.
And Christina has been absolutely instrumental in a lot of this. And we hope to have more, including what Tim had asked me about, the capital budget by August.
I would just say it's probably recognizing you can't change everything all at once, and I know you're not trying to. Perhaps recognize we're trying to do too much here. Does the budget need to be approved in a regular meeting, or can it be approved in a special meeting?
It can be approved in a special or regular, and it does not have to have a hearing.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we won't get into trouble in August if anything.
No, that's a higher level, as my fellow counselor to the left would agree, what was put in and what you've done is more than you have to do to approve a budget. budget. I've never done a hearing like that to approve a budget.
All right, so my concern is that we're bringing forward a CC&R budget that is $51,000 in the hole. Do we have any idea what our current fund balance is for CC&Rs?
Christina?
My last recollection, it was somewhere around $100,000.
That's what I thought.
And so that means we'd be out of money in this budget for in 2 years. So if this is something the board wants to do, I think we would need to reflect that the general fund has to supplement CC&Rs, and we need to add that to our budget.
So, that, may I?
Yeah, go ahead.
The whole point of what we're trying to do is to show you where you're not allocating or recognizing your cost. And CC&R is a hole in the ground. And the question is, how much general fund money are you going to allocate to it over time to make it up? Because I don't know a way to change that.
I agree. I like what you brought forward.
So,
I think that either the board is going to need to reduce services and CC&Rs, or we're going to have to agree to fund it.
I think that's where you are.
And I would say we need to agree to fund it. We need to put in our general fund, I am suggesting we add to Fund 1 a transfer to CC&Rs. We don't have to cover the whole $50,000, but maybe half.
May I ask a supplementary question?
Okay, go ahead.
Did the wage study include the CC&R office?
Yes, it did.
Okay, thank you.
So I think that's the first item. Oh. And then I also like the idea of having more than one budget meeting. I don't know if this needs to come to the committee or to the board. Either is fine, but it would be nice for the staff to come up with cost-saving measures to reduce that deficit that we're currently running. And one of the places I could see that would be the salary of the suggested staff changes. I pretty much agree with my other director regarding the new assistant general manager. I don't think this is the time. And if we do adjust org charts and salaries, that needs to come forward with the wage study. So I would suggest that we approve our preliminary budget in CC&R and Fund 1 with the changes of doing the transfer of $25,000 to CC&Rs and remove the increase for the assistant general manager.
If I may.
Go ahead.
That amount should remain in until the final budget, because it also is consistent with the wage study for the current position.
All right, I was just making a suggestion. Board, that's what I'm suggesting. What do you want to do? Do we have a motion? More discussion? What do you want to do?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve this budget with the amendments of the CC&R allocation. I think that needs to be recognized as quickly as possible. That's one of the best ways to pull that forward, so as to keep CC&R solvent for longer than 2 years. I would agree with the general manager's position about leaving the salary in place simply because it is not a final number and no positions are being approved. It allows the headroom for salary increases, COLA, the 3%, et cetera, moving into the operations here starting July. The board will have time to make those adjustments in our discussions later. So I'd like to make a motion to approve Resolution 2024-12 with the adjustment of adding reminders transferred to CC&R for $25,000.
All in favor?
I'm sorry. Can we do a roll call on that, please?
Roll call.
Thank you.
Beth, could you please call roll? Director Scobie?
Aye.
Director Wolfson?
Aye.
Director Babette?
Aye.
Director Director Easton?
Aye.
Director Rizzo?
Aye.
All right, so we now have passed our preliminary budget 5-0 with that amendment. Moving on to our next item. We now close that public hearing that we didn't need to open.
Yeah.
But we did anyway.
Point of order, Chair?
Yes.
Council, is it too late to make an adjustment on the agenda? Just out of consideration for some of our guests and presenters.
Oh, no. The president of the board can do that of her own volition if she wants to. And the procedure is that if the board at large disagrees with it, they make a motion to overrule her, and then that's voted on.
Okay.
But if everyone stays silent, if she wants to do it or if you want to recommend it, then that's
Chair,
fine.
Can I make a suggestion that we do an item 9C up to this position so that
I can go around the disposal to make a new position and I'm secure more about it? But they're having so much fun. Look at those smiles.
Just say that you're moving on to item 9C and that 9B will be taken at the conclusion of 9C.
I'm doing just what he said. So our next item is 9C, El Dorado disposal, waste connections, and will be adjustment. Finally.
Talking to commercial organizations about organics, which is really food waste,
taking that stuff out of their trash, how to do it, best practices, that type of thing. You'll also notice that we removed over 1,300 special items. When we say special items, we're talking about oil, batteries, and bulky items. So of that 1,300 number, that only includes curbside items. So that's not including residents that brought their material to the transfer station or brought stuff to the buyback center or things of that nature. And the other big number here that I thought was really nice to see was that over 31,000 customers from the Cameron Park or used the Cameron Park buyback center that we have. So really, really nice to see our residents and the community using the programs that we have. That's a big win for us as well. This is a breakdown of the change in CPI year over year. And so basically what we do is we use this index as a metric because we know that generally costs are going to change along with CPI. For this jurisdiction, there's a fuel component that's also part of the rate review every year. So we look at fuel index every year as a part of the rate review. And this year, from 23 to 24, that index actually dropped. So the fuel component of the rate of change is negative this year, which actually reduces the overall rate change for the year, which is how we land on that 1.729. Percentage allows us to cover, obviously, some of those costs, not all of them. There's some costs that outpace that, but again, overall, that number 1.729 is what the change will be for this year. So, as most like to know, so we want to know, how does this impact the ratepayer or our common residential rates, which are listed up here? You'll see the new monthly rate on the far right-hand side there. For us, we've always had a really strong emphasis on trying to keep that 35-gallon senior rate at a very manageable cost. Historically, the 64-gallon has been the sweet spot for Cameron Park, or at least that's what the majority of customers have. So just a 70-cent increase monthly for folks that have a 64-gallon on the 35-gallon senior rate, just under 50 cents for an increase. I do like to remind everybody that this service price includes a total of 4 carts. So you get your trash container and then 3 others. So if you want 2 recycle cans and 1 organics can, or 2 organics carts and 1 recycle, you get any combination of 3 additional carts with your trash container as well. And then there's a 10% discount for seniors on the 64-gallon and on the 96-gallon as well. And I also did want to clarify that there is a small fee for extra trash. So when customers have additional trash, whether that's on the side or trash that doesn't fit all the way in their container, stuck on top, or doesn't allow their container to close all the way, there is a small fee for the trash that doesn't entirely fit in their container. Looking forward to 2024, obviously we are well into the year, but some exciting initiatives and things that we're really happy about. Textile collection is something that we started exploring early on in this year, and we've made a lot of progress on. So, you know, typically what we do when we see where we see textiles is in the waste stream or in the trash. So people just throw their textile material in their trash. We see a good opportunity to get that material out of the trash stream and put it into specifically a textile, basically recovery box. So the thought was if we can put some form of textile recovery bin at our buyback center or buyback centers located at all of our buyback centers, we're able to collect those textile materials potentially when people are turning in their CRB material or bringing extra cardboard to the buyback center. So see an opportunity to pull that textile material out of the trash and create further diversion that way. Compost, free compost for the residents is something that we're excited about, and we're exploring opportunities with the CSD as far as how we can get it closer to home for you guys. I will say we've started a program late last year with the city of Placerville, and that compost program has done really well. I think we were kind of fingers crossed optimistic, and we've seen really good results. We've brought in a ton of compost to the city of Placerville that's free to the residents. They can come and pick it up and use it for gardening or whatever use they have. We've started to explore a similar program with the county and have delivered to some more rural direct locations, farms, vineyards, things like that. So exploring opportunities with the CSD to get that brought directly into Cameron Park and provided for the residents here as well. On the contamination front, for us, this is going to be a big push for us this year, or a big focus. Right now, we know that there's about 25% residual in our commingled stream. So we bring a truck of recycle in, we dump it on the floor. About 25% of that is trash. And when we see, or the biggest things we see in kind of the big three we're going to focus on is plastic bags, styrofoam, and we're seeing a lot of e-waste batteries in our recycle stream as well. So really need to focus on getting plastic bags out of the recycle stream. It's a big change. You know, a lot of people went to the two-can system in their house. They got two plastic bags. We really need to get plastic bags out of the recycle waste stream. Plastic bags immediately contaminate the recycle waste stream. And then obviously, we all use Amazon or one level or one type of service like that. All that styrofoam and packing material that's packed in there has to come out of the box before it goes in the recycle stream. So, going to focus on that. That's going to be a big focus for us, and heavy education, I will say. You know, we really need to re-educate our population after we kind of went through the wish cycle era, where customers, if they didn't know what to do with the item, they just went immediately to the recycle can, thinking everything could get recycled. So some changes have happened, and we really got to do some re-education there. And then I will say maybe what we're most excited about is the completion of our MRF renovation project. Obviously, this has been an ongoing project. We're poised to be finished in October, which is really exciting. Among many of the things that will improve at the MRF, you know, safety and traffic flow are probably the two biggest ones for us. So we're just really excited. You know, we'll be able to get people moved in and out in a much more efficient manner. We'll be able to take more e-waste and more HHW. You know, HHW, that's a big deal for us. We're really the only people on the Western Slope that accept high volumes of HHW. So excited about our opportunities there with the completion of that renovation.
Quick interjection?
Yes.
We do not know what HHW is.
Household hazardous waste. So, sorry guys. Your paints, your halogen bulbs, things like that. So, and then kind of to close this out, obviously, as we all know, there continues to be a strong push for electric vehicles in our state, in California. I do have some metrics and some numbers put up here, but you know what I can tell you is that for our industry specifically, EV technology is still very experimental. There's still a lot to learn in regard to integrating electric vehicles into the waste industry. You know, I guess lastly, I'll just say, as you can see in some of these numbers, there's extreme cost when it comes to infrastructure and equipment and getting this stuff fully integrated into potentially a district like ours. And you think, too, we're not necessarily, you know, we live amongst the hills, so you can imagine trying to run, a fully electric garbage truck for 10 hours a day up and down hills, and there would be some logistical and technical challenges there as well. That's the majority of it. I am happy to field some questions. I know your guys' time is valuable, so thank you for giving me some time.
Okay, let's go ahead and start on this end. Who's going to go first? Eric, any questions?
Thank you. No questions. Been around this long enough to understand all of this. Thank you. That was well done. And just a simple shout-out, I want to thank Jeff Haglund again for his part of your outreach. He says there are all kinds of things. Jeff's been a guest in my class for the last 3 years. My first class to talk about his pathway there. He's been a wonderful guest, and I have students still coming back to mention some of the things he's mentioned. So that's one of the things.
Happy to anytime.
Don, questions? Tim?
What's our diversion rate?
I don't have it off the top of my head. I have the metrics on that first slide, Tim, but I can get you a specific percentage and get back to you.
I can help with that. Specific to what we know that we handle specifically at El Dorado Disposal, it typically is around 40-ish percent or so. That does not include things like grocery stores, Raley's direct shipping cardboard, and things like that. That's what we know that touches the MRF relative to the amount of trash, C&D, green waste, and other things that we touch specifically.
So we're well short of 75%, which is a state goal.
Correct.
How are we going to get there?
The state is trying, obviously, by pushing mandates like 1383. Our job when the state implements something like SB 1383 is to execute a program and collaborate with the CSDs, as we did when that came through. We did surveys. We asked, do you guys want to do weekly? Do you want to do biweekly? So the way we look at that is that when these new programs come down, we teamwork it, we execute the programs, and then we do the best we can. What I have to remind some people sometimes is that we execute programs, but we're not enforcement. One of the reasons why, for the emphasis on contamination, is to get that roughly 25% or so that we ship to be recycled that's actually trash out of the system. The recycling that Chris referred to earlier, there is one of the things that we're trying to do. We are, you know, and I don't want to speak to because I have over the years and it hasn't happened yet. We've made a very large investment in technology that is attempting to turn trash into fuel. A company called Fulcrum Technologies up in Sparks. If that ever is technically executed, then we're going to be the first in the state to get to 75. We're pretty darn close. But there isn't a silver bullet for getting to 75%. But we do the best we can to execute what the state brings down. And again, we're always open to talking to you folks about how we can do that better.
And reviewing the report, there's a summary of the rates. And there's significant amount of new rates included in this rate sheet, which we haven't approved as a board. And so I'm concerned that we are charging our customers for rates that we have not approved. And specifically things like cart cleaning charges, extra trash charge, extra bulky item freon removal. These are all things that were not in our contract. So I'm not sure when these got added in, but I don't know if staff can address this or...
I can provide just a little bit historical on that. Tim, there is a call out to extras charges in the contract under Section 18. And if on a rate sheet that was approved back in 2008, there is a call out to extra trash charges as well. I think there is.
But that's for each 32-gallon bag.
Correct.
Okay, so if there's a 32-gallon bag sitting next to your cart, you get charged, right?
Correct. For each additional 32-gallon bag, right? So if you had your cart out, 35-gallon cart, you can't close the lid, you set your 32-gallon bag on top, but you still place your cart out, then we would charge you for the extra 32-gallon bag.
So are you charging if the get... And this is getting to what Sid wants to talk about.
Sure.
But I was first.
Yep.
If the cart is cracked open, that's not an extra bag.
Correct.
Oh, you don't have a rate for that.
Correct.
Is my point. You can't charge our customers for a rate you don't have. It's not approved, and you have been.
Well, I think that there's probably some discrepancies there, right?
I think so. I think our contract from Amendment 3 did not change it, did not add this. So we should be working off the rate sheet from 2012.
Yeah.
We're not.
I will say, Tim, a lot of times when we get those situations, if the customer calls in to dispute that charge, a lot of times, almost every time, if we don't have, if the driver or whoever didn't take a photo that identifies a 32-gallon bag, we waive those charges.
Shouldn't be charging that.
That's an education process.
No, that's an education process for your operator.
gonna say. Yeah, that's an education process.
Well, but we're still getting charged. I'm sitting next to somebody that can relate to you that issue.
So a lot of times, Tim, we try to do the right thing. Which
well,
is credit
but the right thing
out.
Is to get a contract amendment and add these rates. And then you can charge our customers for it. But right now, you're charging our customers for something that you are not authorized to do.
Well, if done, if our operators are doing it correctly, Tim, it is.
No,
it
it's
is,
not in your rate sheet.
It is.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
These there are several things in here, and there's a rate sheet for extra bags, but not just for an overfull cart. There's no rate charge for
well,
that.
Well, that's what I was saying, Tim. If it's done correctly, the rate is in the rate sheet. And so if it's done incorrectly, then we should be crediting off that charge because it was done improperly. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't think that's happening. And my concern goes, again, presented in this rate sheet, are rates that we haven't approved. So, I guess what I'd like to see is a rate sheet that's reflective of what's approved in our contract. And if you need new rates, that's fine. Bring them to us and get us an amendment that adds those rates in there. But don't start charging our customers for things that we have not approved. You're a contractor for us.
Oh, we understand that. Are you suggesting that if that there is not a rate specific to a 32-gallon bag that's either
can I speak to that one?
Or the
well, hold on.
Okay.
So there's a rate for a 32-gallon bag.
Right.
But there isn't a rate for an overfull cart.
Well, that's an interesting delineation.
Yeah, it is.
So if the cart is the lid sticking up like this, because one of the reasons why those got approved in the first place is people don't want litter on the ground. They don't.
Sure.
We don't want, you know, people trying to stuff
stuff. I hear you.
Charge those kind of things.
Give me a charge for overfull cart because it's different than setting an extra 32-gallon bag next to your cart.
Okay.
That's totally different, and customers don't understand the difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I think that is a good point.
But again, my point is more about the contract. And the fact that you're adding rates in without asking us for permission to do so. That's my problem. Not the charging for the extra trash. If you're overfilling your garbage can, I agree. But let's make sure we're tagging those carts. People know they're getting it. Like if you charge me an overfill charge, I get electronic billing. I do not get a paper bill. I may not even know it. And if my cart isn't getting tagged as a result that says we're going to charge you extra because it was over full, then how am I to even know to resolve it? So that's my problem. So I've said enough.
I'll be continuing the conversation. So pass these down, please.
Show and tell. I like it.
Yeah. And I want the audience to know what we're talking about here.
Get
so. And there is a rate sheet at the back page. Okay, and just so we all know what we're talking about.
Please, you can't be charged extra for that.
This is a 32-gallon bag. No garbage, by the way. It's just paper.
Oh, I heard a glass. Right, you lied.
Uh-oh, I'm going to get charged extra.
So, actually, Tim stole a lot of my thunder, but it's okay. So, which we get along fine. So, it's $5.92 for having an extra 32 gallons. And Chris Brown, where is he? There he is. Okay. He and I started communicating about this in February because I think it was my fourth charge. And I called in and they said, well, we don't take pictures, we don't tag it, we don't do anything. In fact, the wind could have blown it open. Okay, and then Chris was nice enough to remove two of the charges. And then I thought, okay, this may just be me, or is it bigger? So the can, if the can's open, I could get charged. If the lid's open a little bit, as those pictures show, I could have gotten charged. But there's no tagging, there's no notice, and it gets even worse. So I said, Chris, how many people do your tagline? I mean, do you do this? You have no knowledge. You don't keep data on that. So we don't even know what the scope of this or how big. In fact, it seems to suggest that an audit is appropriate. If you don't know this, you should have that information for us. We should have an audit. And then the numbers are much worse. I mean, it's 596. It doesn't seem to be that hard, but like Tim said, I went around my neighborhood just saying, I wonder how big a problem it is, and I walk my dog about a mile and a half each day. And I just started taking counts. It's about a 5 to 10% incidence of lids being opened a little bit. So we have seven. So just to get a number, the numbers that get a scope of this. So my little problem is huge when you start looking at the scope for our community. 7,000 households. If it's 5%, that's 350 a week. That's an extra 2,000 earned a week for the El Dorado disposal. Or over a year, that's $108,000. And then, Chris, and I'm sorry, you're the one who's going to get it. You referred me back to the 2008. I'm sorry, what is the word we need back there, Tim? What is it called?
Rate sheet.
Rate sheet. So if you go back on the thing I've handed out to you, the rate sheet from 2008 is the one where we got the extra charge for the gallon, the 32-gallon bag. It's huge. It's $1.7 million of overcharge, in my opinion. In fact, it's so substantial, I really would like to refer this to council to look at. Does the rate sheet that we agreed to, is that sufficient? Or should we be looking at some sort of a refund, a credit for the consumers here in Cameron Park? It's that big an issue. $1.7 million, $108,000 a year. And it's just the people in our community that have been overcharged. Now, without an audit, you simply can't answer the question, is that 5% accurate or not? Because some days, it's closer to 10% in my neighborhood. The numbers are even worse. And when we look at the rate sheet, nowhere does it talk about a can lid being open, as those pictures show, or being blown open. And if there's a bag of garbage on top of it, if it's this size, I don't think we're going to disagree, but I think most people conceptually would think of the can with this bag next to it. So I think at the very least, you need to have a system in place that tags, that keeps track of, that notifies, and we have to determine legally whether you even have that right to have charged this amount of money and what are we going to do about it as a board. I think we should postpone any decision on this for at least 60 days to give us your side a chance to explore this and do an audit, and our side to legally know where we stand, because the numbers are just too big. And the consumers have suffered too much in this community for that. If I'm right, and I hope I'm wrong, but if I'm right, it's you've taken monies you're not entitled to. It had never been agreed to by this board. And the rate sheet does not reflect anything that we're describing here to now.
Okay. So that has me asking a question. That contract states that we can, there are conditions that we have to apply if we do not agree to reasonable requests for rate changes. So I don't know if your request would actually bump that, what the contract says. I'm not sure I'm being clear.
I think we need legal counsel on this because I don't know where we stand.
I would have to go back and review the contract at a bare minimum to even hope to answer that question.
And that's why I say put it off.
I'm sure I haven't looked at it in years.
To come back or something to give people a chance. And you honestly don't know how many people you're overcharging like this, or do you? You're just not. You don't have that information with you.
I'm sure we could do a version of an internal audit. I'm not going to make a claim without direct, accurate information, Sid. But I can assure you we've never used this as a source of revenue. That's not the way that the plan was set up historically before me. Jeff might be able to speak on this. You know, there was a whole campaign for a closed lid campaign where we really did a campaign to try to get all of our customers to ensure that it was closed. We don't charge people for a 3-inch gap. But that's not what we do, Sid.
But my understanding, talking to my neighbors, talking to other people I social with, it's amazing how many people have been charged. So it's not a rare instance, it's a common instance.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that you would like to postpone this annual fee, establishing rates for the collection of solid waste for 60 days to get more information. And my question is, I don't know if we can legally do that if they're not related.
But in fact, they are related.
Well, I'm saying, but the fee adjustment here is not related to your request. Now, I'm sure 30 days probably isn't going to be a big deal. I don't know. 30 days, like if we came back and did this again next month with the information, is that something that's...
Should we get some public comment?
Sure. Why don't we do that? Okay, any other questions from the board? For our
this morning, that extra bag charge, that isn't part of the rate increase, correct? It's a fixed charge from 16 years ago or something?
16 years ago.
Well, no, but it goes up every year, right? You escalate it.
It's part of the cost.
It gets the annual adjustment.
It does, okay. Then I think it's covered, but...
Yeah, I didn't realize that annual. Good question. All right, let's open it up to the public. Any comments, questions? Yes, sir.
Paul Hackney, Cameron Park. I'm a retiree, and all I see is fees going up. Fees going up, fuel charges, you know, that are on the bill. You know, they hit us up for the bills for fuel. What I don't see from you guys, or really from anybody, is your savings report. In other words, I saw the little, you know, the dog and pony show about all the good things that you've done. I haven't seen in 2023 or 24, we have delayed buying 3 new vehicles. We're going to run our vehicles out another 3 to 5 years, like normal people like us, instead of buying new cars every year. Cell phones, salary freezes, which you guys have done to reduce any kind of cost savings, but I don't hear any of that at all. And all of a sudden I just hear we got a little increase here. Congratulations. And I guess it's just moving people out of California, board members, this is the same thing with Cameron Park. You know, these little increases are moving people out of California. And as a retiree, we are on fixed income. And, you know, there's only so much in our little piggy bank. And we don't have the privilege of just going out and saying we're going to spend more money. You know, we stay within a budget. I drive a 20-year-old car. But I don't hear you guys saying, yeah, our vehicles are averaging 10 years old, 15, 20 years old. You know, we put a new engine in them, a new transmission. No, we go buy a new vehicle for $180,000. That's what I don't hear from you.
Yeah, I could. I know in prior presentations we talked about truck capital and things like that. I think I could give you some more insight to that, maybe offline, if I can get your information. There is restrictions we have from the state that require us to do things like buy new vehicles for emission standards that we don't have the option to tell the state no. And California Air Resources Board says you have 22 trucks that are out of compliance and you physically can't keep them on the road. So there is things like that that force our hand, but I would be happy to follow up with you.
It would be nice to see it saving before.
Thank you. Other public comment? Yes?
Two questions. What is the age for a senior?
60, 65.
Okay, so we got another year to go. Okay. second one, and Jeff and I have talked about this next one, but this is for transparency for the board. Coming out of a Board of Supervisors meeting, they have done a presentation. We have property up in Tahoe, and with the Truckee Refresh Center, they have a unique concept with their voucher to help get rid of green waste, trees, pine needles, whatever it is. You go in with your ID and a bill, and you're given a little punch card that is in your name, and it allows you to get 6 yards of green waste at no charge. But what we get for a green waste load is X amount of 32-gallon bags.
Basically 2.5 yards or
2.5 yards. But I made 6 runs to the dump last year with green waste, and they just punched a hole out of my card to keep track of that. I didn't have to just turn in a voucher, because there's times I'll go in the summer and I don't have my full amount for that voucher, that one card, but I have to surrender the whole card, but I'm only taking maybe a half a yard with me. So they've broken it down to be 6 yards total in 6 increments that I could make runs throughout the whole summer as I do my green waste cleanup around my property. So I think I would ask the board to try to do that for the residents in Cameron Park and work with waste management to get that done. Because I think with the press to get defensible space around your home, people have a lot of green waste they're getting rid of. I've got stuff now that I'm waiting for a chipper on. But having that punch card, I just think makes it more effective for the consumer to be able to get rid of their waste and not forfeit a whole card for all the yardage when they only have a small portion of it.
Thank you. Other comments from the public? Okay, bringing it back. Do we have unlimited yard waste at the buyback center?
Two.
Yeah. So that's another option.
Yeah, there's a voucher system we have, not the punch style, but you get vouchers for green waste and curbside pickup. We have the unlimited service to buy that.
All right, so while our council reads that, I have another question. Is the textile bin currently installed at our buyback center?
Not yet.
When will it be in?
Hopefully sooner than later. We're working through the contract right now and getting that pushed through legal and getting it signed with the vendor.
Okay.
But essentially, it'll be something similar to, you know, fully enclosed kind of bin, right? You'll come up, pull you out, dump your clothes in there, and that bin will be serviced. So.
I see. And how will you notify residents it's available?
I would imagine with some social media outreach, and probably when we do billing messages and things like that as well, we can get a notification out on that way as well. Happen to put a CST website update.
Yeah.
That's.
And then you mentioned that you check for contamination in the recycle stream. Do you ever check for recycle and organics in the trash stream?
Not as frequent, I would say, because most of the time your trash is bagged. And so we're not able. We do waste audits where we physically put the trash on the ground, rip open the bags, and look at what's in there. But, you know, trucks are equipped with the ability to, they can see when they dump the can, they can see what's going in. So a lot of times in your organics cart or your recycle cart, that's where we're catching contamination. Most of the time in the trash, everything's bagged, so you can't exactly see if people are putting green waste in recycles in there.
With the idea to meet the state mandate of 75% or goal, 75% diversion, maybe considering asking people not to bag the garbage so that you can see it. And see how much and to see how much other diversion you can do. For all you know, there's half the garbage is recyclable. I know that a lot of people don't always.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think a lot of our education material and newer stuff we continue to develop is really aimed towards helping people eliminate confusion. I think there's a lot of people don't understand. People don't know what to do with their batteries.
Yeah.
So they put them in the recycle can, or you know. They take a piece of scrap metal and they put it in recycle. Well, recyclable scrap metal, you can't really just put it in the recycle can. So things like that, for sure.
And then the other question is the presentation today will be on the packet that's posted?
Yeah, it's going to be additional.
It'll be an additional. Yeah, it would be nice if we could have seen it ahead of time. Because it's hard to read on there. Is that something maybe we can do in the future, is submit that so that we can go in the packet?
Yeah.
That would be useful. All right, Alan. Jason.
This is a 59-page document, and I'm simply not going to get through it and understand every line and everything else and any exceptions, anything else, tonight, sitting here. So I have a general sense of it, but not one that I could certainly advise you on now, and even doing so would risk a violation of certain attorney-client privileges. So what the board wants to do with this, the challenge that I see is, were these to go into effect July 1st? Was
yes,
that?
Sir.
All right, so there will not be another board meeting before it. If the board wants to hold off on this, then it needs to do so, and we can address it contractually moving forward. Or the board can vote to approve it, whichever way. But it's simply not possible to do an analysis of this right now on 59 pages and tell the board what to do or not to do.
Can anyone answer the impact of what happens if we don't approve it tonight? What happens?
There's some provisions in here. You might want to direct it. I just tell you that from my perspective, there are provisions in here that regard that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But again, they're not even all in one spot in the contract.
I hate that contract.
And it's not even a searchable document.
I hate
this
that
PDF.
Too. I know.
If they have a perspective on it, they're free to comment.
Do you have a perspective on what happens if we don't approve it tonight?
I don't mean to be curt, but we call our lawyer, you call your lawyer. We have that conversation. We met our performance standards. Our belief is we're entitled to the increase. We're very happy to take the conversation specific to extras, vouchers, anything, you know, along those lines. Down the line, we'll talk about anything. We'll negotiate anything. But my belief, and I'm not the lawyer, is that having met our performance standards, we're entitled to our increase. That's my back of the envelope for what it's worth.
All right, board, what do you want to do? Do you want to approve this? Do you want to wait? What do you want to do?
I suggest that we approve the rate increases as requested, only for the rates that are in the, basically I believe it is amendment to rate sheet. So the approved rates and the rates. So for the other items that are in those rate sheets, those aren't approved, and you can't be charging them to our customers until we get an amendment and meet with them and discuss.
Okay. Do you want to make a motion to that?
It doesn't completely solve the problem, though, of the previous charges that may not be appropriate.
Well, and I think we would pursue that through discussions on...
Well, there's add-ons. They've had that as an addition.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So would be... So somehow we have to sort that extra charge out.
Right, but we need to verify that it's an extra charge and not in the contract.
Yes.
Yeah, so that would be some investigation.
I'm not sure how you can approve something that maybe they're not entitled to. I mean, that's my thoughts.
Well, I think they're entitled to the rates that are in the contract. I shouldn't even say we're in it. They are in the contract. They're just not entitled to all the additional rates that were not there until the contract is amended. And we need to enter into discussions about making those amendments.
And maybe the amendment includes some level of adjustment, which we don't know at this point.
Well,
what that'll be.
You can look into that and determine.
And with legal counsel's help.
Sure.
Just a caution
to my fellow directors. I recognize that there's an issue here to be addressed. I would be cautious about extrapolating out from anecdotal experience. To start saying it's a $1.something million overcharge, I think is hyperbole, unless there's other data. And I want to be careful as a board representing our community. Yes, we need to address it, but I don't feel comfortable with that kind of statement coming from this table. So I just caution you, yes, bring it forward and let's address it. Our partners have always been good with us in my experience, and I appreciate Director Hazel bringing it up, and you too. But I don't think it's appropriate to level that kind of charge in an initial discussion. So just a caution.
And I guess I would call it hyperbole, but it's to make this is not a light subject. It's actually, it could be quite significant.
It could be, but we don't have any data to level that charge yet. So let's bring it up, let's discuss it, and if we find it is, then yeah, it's at that level we need to address it at that level. Just a caution.
So we could, as Tim is suggesting, we can go ahead and approve this increase and then request our contractors come back with clarity on their current rate sheet and the contract language that states that they are allowed to charge these extra charges. Something that you can do?
Of course. Like I said, we'll talk to you about anything, anytime.
Okay. How does that sound to the board?
Is that something, both in the interest of expediency for the first level question and for our partners to be able to implement budgets, et cetera, is that something that can come back next month?
Can you get that information next month?
With regard to postponing this decision,
let me see if I clarify my statement. What I'm summarizing here is we're approving rates that are approved in the contract. Mm-hmm. If it's not in the contract, we can't approve it. But if there's an amendment that needs to be made for extra charges that have accumulated that are not in the contract, you could bring that back next month potentially with an amendment, with justification, so that the board can discuss it at that point and kind of shorten the timeline. Director Bazette's question is a longer term, and we do want to hear from you. We want to be able to investigate your data, and an audit would probably be appropriate in looking at that.
I'll ask my controller. How much time do you need?
We can look at it. Yeah, we'll find out if they're appropriate or not. We don't know yet.
And we don't know the numbers even.
They could be in there, they could not be. Let's find out.
So if that's something that could come back, at least the amendment,
certainly
next month.
And then you'll get that on the agenda for next
month? You know, what I don't want to do is rush through an analysis and then a certain legal consultation that we're going to end up having. So I don't want to make a promise that we can't keep specific to a time frame. We will definitely want to come back and have this conversation. I just don't want to say I can do it in 4 weeks.
So is 60 days more appropriate?
Well, my suggestion is only expediency for us and for you. So if it takes more time,
I think we can. I just don't want to make a promise we can't keep relative to that level of analysis and then a subsequent legal consultation.
I just don't want to delay the decision anymore.
Sure. No, we don't want to either. Trust me on that.
Okay.
All right. So we have a motion.
So I'll move to approve the rate increases as described in Resolution 24-14 for the rates that are in our contract.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor say aye. Oh, wait, you can do roll call, right?
I ask you to, please, yes.
Roll call, please. Director Kobe? Aye. Director Wolfson?
Aye.
Director Izzo?
Aye.
Director
Bazette?
Aye. Director Grayson? Aye. All right, we have now approved new rates. Thank you. 5-0, and we look forward to hearing back from you regarding the additional charges. Okay.
Over here.
And moving on to our next item of the business. Clear in the room. That would be 9B, establishing an appropriations limit for fiscal year 2024-25 for the CFC. Staff, can you share that off for us quickly? Yes, every year we get information from the county stating the cost of living factor. And so our appropriations limit. Last year were $13,903,171. So this year, with the growth factor, it is $14,494,554. This is the numbers we get from the county. That's just a
basically saying the amounts, if we got that much money in property taxes, that we would be able to spend. Yeah, would that be great? All right, any questions, comments from the board?
No. How does that number compare with last year's number?
Last year's number was $13,953,171.
Yeah,
any
questions?
Okay, do we have a motion?
I move to approve the resolution number 2024-13 to adopt the appropriations limit for fiscal year 2024-25.
Second?
Okay,
do we need a
roll
call on this one?
Please, yes.
Okay. All right. Director Easton.
Aye.
Director Scope.
Aye.
Director Wilson.
Aye.
Director Israel.
Aye.
Director Levitt.
Aye.
Wonderful. Oh my goodness. We're now moving on to a closed session. The fun never ends.
Oh my God, it's not so
loud. Yep. Moving on. Thank you, everybody. You can hang out for a report out.
That's all right.
Or you can get a few seeds for us.
Okay. Okay.